If you have a Bible this morning, will you turn to the book of John, chapter number 6. The book of John, chapter number 6. We started a little series a few weeks ago entitled, He Did What? And Pastor Nathan said last week, depending on how his message went, because we were away and he was preaching, he said it would either go so bad that I'd just abandon the series and pick up somewhere else, or it would go so well and I'd figure, well, we can't go on top of that because it's so good. So how did it go? It was good, wasn't it? Give Pastor Nathan a hand this morning. He did a great job last week. We thank God for him and Pastor George and their gifts and talents and how God uses them mightily here at Harvest. And I rejoice with them. And I pray that when I'm not here or when they have opportunities to speak, I pray they knock it out of the park. I pray that they preach down the glory of God. It'd be silly for me to hope they laid an egg. You know, sometimes I'll have some folks say, well, you better watch out. He preached a good one. So watch out for what? Watch out for what? The only thing I'm watching out for is the glory. I hope the glory falls regardless of who preaches from this platform or this pulpit. He's God, amen? This is His church, and we are His people, amen? God is good. Yesterday we had the privilege of celebrating Josh and Rachel. Stand real quick, Josh and Rachel. Let's give them a great big hand this morning as they came together and got married yesterday right here at Harvest. God bless you. We love you guys. You know that. God bless you. We love Josh and Rachel and thankful that Josh's family is able to be with us this morning, worshiping with us. We're so glad that you've chosen to come and be with us today. We really love Josh. We do. He's a good man. And we look forward, and I mean this, to what God's going to do in Josh's life and in Rachel's life. I look forward to the day that God raises them up and uses them mightily. And here's the thing. We here as the pastors and we as leadership and we as a church, we're all about raising people up. We want to raise people up. We want everybody in this church to reach their fullest potential in God and to do whatever God has called them to do and excel in it and do well. And we're looking forward to Josh and Rachel growing in the Lord and whatever God has for them here at Harvest Church, and excited for that. So you guys be praying for them when you leave town, all right? When you get out of town, you pray for them that they do well in town, all right? All right. The book of John, chapter number 6, a very familiar story probably to most that have been in the church for any period of time. This is a very significant story because, and you know, surprisingly, there are many people that don't know this part of this story. All the things that Jesus did, the Bible said, if they were all recorded, there wouldn't be enough books, literally, to contain all the things that he did. Many of you will not know this, because there was a time that I did not know this. I literally was unaware of this. And even that, when I studied the miracles and things that Jesus did, somehow there was a simple truth that I lost at some point in this. But I know many of you may not be aware of this. But outside of the virgin birth and outside of his resurrection that are recorded in all four Gospels, this is the only miracle that Jesus performed that is in all four Gospels. It's the only one. He did a lot of miracles, and some of them, maybe John and Mark, they may have talked about one. Maybe Luke and Matthew talked about one, and John talked about it too. There have been two, and there have been three. But this is the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels. This one right here. That leads me to believe there must be, Karen, something quite significant about this story if it's recorded, the only one that's recorded in all four Gospels. So let's pick up on it this morning. And we got to get you out of here by 3:30, and so you have time for dinner. I'm just kidding. Beginning of verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is also called the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles. A great multitude followed him, not necessarily because they believed that he was the Christ. Hello. They didn't necessarily because they believed he was the Christ, but many followed him. Why? It doesn't say because he was the Christ. It didn't say because he was the Son of the Most High God. It says they followed him because, depending on your translation, it'll say miracles or signs, maybe even wonders. They followed him because what they saw that he was doing. They followed him because of the tangible things that were flowing out from his ministry. The miracles which he did on them that were diseased. So specifically, Ethan, he's talking about, there were many miracles. There were many sick people that were healed at this particular point in time. Many that we do not even have recorded. There are many of them that are not even recorded in Scripture. But there are many other things that he did. That's what the Bible says. Many other things. So he's healing a lot of people. And because a lot of these miracles and healings were happening, it was being noised or being heard all around the region. And people were coming and people were flocking because of, let's just say, it was almost kind of like a spectacle of the day. People were showing up to see what he would do. Some of the great revivals that hit the land, Azusa Street. They said people used to show up at Azusa Street just to watch the pastors burn. They were so on fire for God. The people just showed up just to watch the fire of God burning in their bellies. It's even been recorded that the fire departments showed up at Azusa Street because flames were seen shooting out of the roof of the church, and there were no fires. But it was the fire of God. I don't believe the fire was shooting out of the church. I think the fire was shooting in the church, personally. That's what I think. The fire was coming into the church. The fire of God into our bellies. But because of the miraculous things, and we're a lot like that today, we follow after signs and we follow after wonders and we follow after ones who seem to, if it's a big crowd or it's a big following, we follow after. I'm thinking, when Jesus hung on the cross, there was no big crowd. And nobody was selling Starbucks. Nobody was giving away treats. There were very few at the foot of the cross that day standing beside him. Matter of fact, there came some days when he said some things that was so hard for his followers to take. The Bible says many of them just said, well, we can't do that. And they walked away. And they walked away. But there's some significance in this particular story as to why it was recorded in all four Gospels. And hopefully we'll be able to look at some of those today and get through this in a very timely fashion. Verse 3, and Jesus went up into the mountains, and there he sat with his disciples. Here's a lesson that we all need to learn at times. There's times that we need to rest. Jesus, throughout the Gospels, showed us at times that he rested. He got away and he got alone and he rested and he got recharged. Sometimes we run and 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 we burn ourselves out and we become weary because we don't stop, we don't rest, we don't seek to get filled up from the Father ourselves. And so that's a good lesson for us right there in verse number 3. He got alone just with his disciples and they rested. Verse 4, and the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was now happening. Verse 5, and Jesus, when he lifted up his eyes, he saw a great multitude or company of people coming unto him. And he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? So Jesus goes to get off by himself, but the crowds watched where he was going, and they followed after him. They followed after him to where he was. They came also. And so there was a large multitude of people, and depending on which writer of the story writes it, it depicts it slightly different, and it doesn't mean that they witnessed different things. It's just that if four or five of us had to write a story about how this service went today, we would pick things out how we saw it, how we viewed it. Some would say something that they heard me say, and others would completely disregard that and use something that maybe George said or David said or Pastor Nathan said. And so, although it's the same exact account, there may be some little variations of how certain things may have been worded or how it was said. But it's the exact same account. And so Jesus comes to Philip, and this is, I believe this is a very important part of this story. And I believe this is why John wrote the story, because I think John saw the story, and I think John overheard something in the story that maybe the others didn't hear. Have you ever overheard something that no one else overheard? Have you ever been privy to a part of a conversation that maybe other people didn't hear? Did you ever walk in a room and hear something that you shouldn't have heard? Have you ever walked into a room and saw something that you shouldn't have seen? Many years ago, I was working in sales, and I was working with a customer, and I walked back into the main office, and the door was closed, and it was actually after hours we were closed, and I didn't think anybody except one person would be in that room. And I opened up that door and backed out of that door real quick. I walked in on something happening in the room. Did you ever walk in on something? Did you ever hear something that you thought, oh, I didn't want to hear that? Have you ever heard something that you wanted to hear? Did you ever hear anything that tickled your ears Wednesday night? If you didn't listen, you got to go online, download it. Talked about those who have itchy ears and only wanting to hear what they want to hear, right? But I believe in this particular situation, there's a large crowd of people. The disciples are probably talking amongst themselves. What are we going to do with all these people? How are we going to get them out of here? How are we going to feed them? What are we going to do? And Jesus looks over at Philip, and he points Philip out, and there's a reason why he points Philip out. Because Philip was the only one of the disciples that was from that specific region. Philip knew the region. And so Jesus says to Philip, where can we get food to feed this many people? Because Jesus knew Philip was the only one in that area that would have known. Well, from what I understand, it would have been about a 9-mile trek to get to the nearest village or city to get food for these people, about 9 miles, to where they could have got enough food for these people. Philip knew that. Jesus was speaking something to Philip, because Jesus knew there was something in Philip. Funny thing is, one of the pastors at my mother's church is named Philip. Philip needed to hear something, because Philip was looking through his own eyes. Philip was looking through his own abilities. Philip was looking it through, he knew how to meet the natural need of the situation. And so Jesus says to Philip, how are we going to feed him? And Philip says, I have no idea. And then Philip follows it up and he says this, it's going to cost a half a year's worth of money to feed all these people. Isn't it just like us? Danny, you know this. You're a money guy. You understand. Any situation, you go right to money. You do, don't you? You do. Ron comes, you go right to money, right? Because that's what you do. You do. Ethan, listen, Ethan. Listen, Philip. You Phillips amongst us, all you Phillips. Anybody a Philip here? Anybody try to look at how you're going to solve this thing? Anybody look to try how you're going to work it out? It looks too big. You can't do it. It's going to cost too much money. How many times have we ever said, it's going to cost too much money? Maybe some of you thought, Pastor, we're just about ready to pay off our debt completely. We're just this close. How can we send money to Florida? Because we don't look on our own needs. We don't just focus on ourselves. We look to the needs of everyone. Amen? Are you with me? Do you believe this? How many just want to get up and leave right now? Philip's trying to figure it out, and he says to Jesus, it's too far to go get food. Do you see how many men are here? There's got to be 5,000 men here, besides women and children. They estimated that this miracle alone was between 15 and 20,000 people. James, how would you like to pay for that meal? Huh? You thought what happened downstairs was something. How many of you ever had to pay for a wedding? How would you like them? Oh, there are going to be 15,000, 20,000 people. Danny would be like, hey, ain't no way. We're going to have to cash in a CD. We're going to have to cash in, you know, we're going to have to do something. 15, 20,000 people. How do you feed that many people? And if you've ever served up a buffet line, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you just don't get a piece of chicken for everyone. You got to get like 2 to 3 pieces of chicken for everyone. And then you got to make sure you have enough. So you got to over order to have an abundance, because the most embarrassing thing is you can't run out of food, right? How many know what I'm talking about? In some cultures, that's a big thing. You don't run out of food. You know, I know there's some people say, hey, if it's all gone, it's all gone. I don't care. You know, I got 15 nuggets and, you know, 13 people were invited, so. You don't get your nugget, that's your problem. You know, because there's always that guy going to come and he's going to grab a whole handful. You know, there's always that dude at the wedding. He ain't taking one piece of chicken, he's taking 6. And everybody behind him is going, boy, I hope there's enough left. I hope there's enough left. This is a monumental task. This is something that's out of the ordinary. This is something that's beyond the realm or the scope of their understanding of being. They're not caterers. They're not chefs. They don't run operations with businesses of restaurants. These fishermen and tax collectors, and there's all these people and money, and what's this going to cost, and how are we going to do this? Well, it sounds like a business meeting at most churches. How are we going to handle all this? Verse 6, you got to see this. And John records it like this. And he said, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Some say he just put this out there to Philip, to show Philip who he was, meaning Jesus. He was showing Philip, Philip, you don't got this, but I do. How many times have you had to come to learn in life you didn't have it, but he did? There's 5,000 people, 5,000 men, women, and children, 15 to 20,000 conservatively in the crowd. How many, wouldn't that be something if we had 15,000 people show up here next Sunday morning? What would we do? I can tell you right now, I would have people running to me frantically. Where are we going to park the cars? You know what my response would be? Anywhere we can. Shut down the road. Block it off at both ends. Just turn the road into a parking lot. Where are we going to set them? I don't know. Just open up the windows. So if they got to be out in the yard, I preach in a church where they had to stand outside, didn't we, Barbara? Preaching in a church where a man walking down the street heard the word preached, stopped and listened, ran home, got his family, and came back and said, we're all getting saved. Because he was coming by the church, you know? What will we do, George? That many people show up, we'll need more offering bags. What if they can't hear the sound system outside? We'd have all kind of issues arise, right? 15 to 20,000 people, that's a pretty significant crowd of people. I don't care what size church you are, that's big. That's big. Philip answered and said, we only got half a year's worth of money here. That's what it would cost, half a year's worth of money for the bread to feed these people alone. He said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them. That every one of them may take a little. He said, they just get a little bit. Verse 8, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a little kid here which has 5 loaves of barley and 2 small fish. Did you ever have somebody speak up in the crowd and say something so bizarre you just don't even know what in the world that... Have you ever been at Thanksgiving dinner around the table and you're all talking and somebody at the table says something and the whole place just goes quiet? And everybody's afraid to look at anyone else because you're just like, did he say what I thought he said? How many have ever been there? Have you ever been in a meeting somewhere? Have you just been somewhere where you just been like, he said what? Well, you need to show up on Wednesday nights. That's our Wednesday night topic. He said what? Sunday morning is he did what? He said what's or because he said some stuff. He said some stuff that would shake up a lot of Christians today. He said some stuff. Did amazing things. So, and isn't it kind of funny who spoke up and said this when you think about it? Andrew, Peter's brother. You know, kind of spontaneous Peter. Kind of Peter just popping off and saying things. That Peter and Andrew must have been very similar personality-wise. Did you ever hear birds of a feather flock? He didn't fall too far from the... Andrew goes, hey, we got a little kid here. He's got some loaves and fish. I imagine Peter probably slapped him right up beside the head. Have you ever been a... That's dumb, man. We're trying to get in the kingdom here, man. We're trying, you know, he's going to set up a kingdom, and we're going to be with him. He's going to overthrow Rome, and we're going to... Shut up, man. Man, I should never even ask you to come. That's the stupid things. I got five loaves and two fish. What in the world are we going to do with five loaves? Jesus said, hey, could you bring them to me? You want the five loaves and the two fish? Well, he must be, yeah, that money-grubbing preacher Jesus, he's going to take that bread and fish and he's going to go eat himself. He's going to make a big old fish sandwich and, you know. Everybody knows he likes some tartar sauce, you know. And then he's going to tell us, go out here and talk to the people. Yeah, that's great. Everybody's hungry. He's back here munching on the fish. And then we got, you know, fish and chips. Where's Long John Silver's when you need them, huh? Jesus said, hey, what did you say? There's a young man there. Jesus said, go over in verse 10. Go over and make them men sit down. Because there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in the number of about 5,000. So the men are seated. There are women and children there, don't forget it. This had to be a monumental task in and of itself. That you could direct 5,000 men to do one specific task. Task. A woman. Remember, you guys ate the apple. No, I'm just messing. All right, because I saw some necks cracking. I'm going to have to be like Jesus and just pass through the crowd, you know. My goodness. What a monumental task. Sit them down in groups and get them all arranged. I'm not sent by him. I don't even like him. I went to high school with him. He stole my girlfriend. I ain't sent with that dog. You know that dirty rat over there? He did me wrong. I ain't sent by him. I'm moving. Hey, who wants to swap places? You know how we are. Well, I don't like that one. You know what town they come from? We don't like them people. And get them all arranged. Jesus said, set them down. Get them settled down. I have a feeling the reason why they were so obedient in doing what they said, because they were coming with such an anticipation to see what it'd do. Catch this now. Because they were so excited with the anticipation of what he would do, they were ready to listen to what he... They were ready and willing to listen to what he said to do. See, when we come in with an expectation, when we come with an anticipation that amazing things are going to happen, we're more likely to hear what he's going to say. When we just come out of tradition, or we just come out of ritual, or we just kind of come because it's just the popular thing to do, or it's just, hey, it's a nice place to go hang out for a couple hours on a Sunday morning, or whatever, we're going with the wrong motive, wrong heart, and we don't get out of it what we should be getting out of it. But when we come with the anticipation, I'm going to meet with him today, and because he is a miracle worker, I have a miracle in my life that I need. He's going to take care of it. I'm going to come watch God do great things. And if he don't meet my need today, I hope he meets somebody's. If I don't get my particular need met today, I hope somebody gets their need met today. Right? It's the attitude we should have. Jesus says, set them all down. Set them all down. Got a little kid here with 5 loaves, 2 fishes, 15 to 20,000 people. Verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks for them, Pastor Davis told us at the beginning of service, we're to give thanks when? Why? Why did you tell us that? It's the will of God. I had somebody many years ago, Cheryl, come into my office, many, many years ago, another church, not this church, another church, came into my office. Pastor, I just want to know God's will for my life. I just struggle. I can't find God's will. I want God to reveal his will. I don't know God's will. I want to know God's will. Pastor, will you pray for me that God will reveal his will to me? I said, absolutely. I know God's will for you. I read that same verse Pastor David read. They said, well, that's not what I'm looking for. Excuse me? Give thanks. Let's just start with being thankful. You want to know God's will for your life? Just start living a life of thankfulness. Well, I ain't thankful for that. Well, his word says, in all things, give thanks. It's kind of like that, blessed are they that mourn. You're not blessed because you're mourning. You're blessed because he'll comfort you in your mourning. You get it? He blesses you in the situation. He blesses you in the circumstance. That's the joy. That's the joy unspeakable, full of glory. Amen? He takes the loaves and he gives thanks. And he distributed to the disciples. And the disciples took them to those that were sitting down. And likewise of the fish, as much as they would. So Jesus blesses the bread and he blesses the fish. And he says to the disciples, now start passing it out. Give them as much as they want. He did what? What? Tell them to take. I could just see this happen. Here, take some bread. Don't, that's too much. Just a little bit. Don't take so much. Don't you see all these people? Come on, just. Jesus said, no, just give them as much as they want to take. Let them. Don't let that fear overtake you, sister. We go out to dinner, she won't be reaching for the bread, I'll tell you that. Hey, Jesus said, let them take as much as they want. Let them be filled. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Let them have all they want. Oh, man, that's too many. Have you ever been there? Have you ever counted the cost? Have you ever realized you didn't have enough? Say it's not enough. How many of you have ever lived with that it's not enough? How many of you have ever had an it's not enough mentality? You've had it's not enough thoughts. What the need was, what you had would not meet the need. I've been there over and over and over and over and over and over and over again in my life. But the Lord has taught me. He shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. And I can't live anywhere, any way else, and I can't believe anything else. And I'm sorry if you don't live there, and I'm sorry if you don't believe that. I'm sorry for you, and I feel badly for you. But you've got to learn to trust in the Lord with all your heart. You've got to learn to lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Because he said, if you will seek me first, if you will seek my kingdom first, then I shall supply, I shall supply, I shall supply, I shall supply. He is the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. See, you got to look at your need and not see the need, but declare, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Because I am a child of God, and there is no fear. Oh, my, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. So they start passing it all out. They're all filled. They've eaten to overflowing. Verse 12, and when they were all filled, say filled. I hope you go out of here filled today. Filled with the power and presence of God moving in your life. Filled with faith. Filled believing that all things are possible. Amen? That if you're God before you, who can be against you? When they were all filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Verse 13, therefore they gathered together to themselves, filled 12 baskets. 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Jesus was able to meet the demand that they had that day. They had lack. They did not have the provision. They could not make it happen. But Jesus was able to bring to pass the thing that they were struggling with. The very thing that they needed, Jesus was able to bring it to pass. Amen? Jesus was able to make it happen. So what's that mean to you and I? Well, one, we can't be like Philip. Because sometimes when we count the cost, we become defeated. How many of you have ever looked at the cost and became defeated? How many of you ever gave up because you counted the cost? You didn't see any way it could happen. Is he not the supplier of every need? He's just looking for our faith to step up. See, the miracle happened. You got to get this before you leave. Kelly, the miracle happened when they started distributing the bread and the fish. It was only 5 loaves and 2 fish till they started giving it out. It was only what it was until Jesus touched it. See, when you get, here's the key, when you give it to Jesus, it becomes more than what it is. It was only 5 loaves and 2 fishes till he blessed it, till he gave thanks with it, and then he said to them, now you give it. And when they walked, when they stepped out in faith, said, okay, if that's what you say to do, they started passing out. And as they were taking, if they were ripping off chunks, the bread just kept growing. Rip off, it just kept growing. How would that mess some of you up? You go to the checkbook, it just keep growing, just keep growing. You go to the Mac machine, just keep growing, keep growing. You go to the cupboard, it's just keep coming, it just keep coming. Can I just tell you, this really happened? This isn't a Sunday school story. I mean, it would have made a great felt board moment. You grow up in the felt board classroom, we were the felt board teachers. We knew how Jesus stuck on the board. If you weren't here last Sunday, that's all foreign to you. You had to almost hear last Sunday's message to understand that felt board thing. You know, we call them today smart boards. Flat screen TVs. Back in the day, we'd be tearing out them little figures every weekend before Sunday school. You remember? Tearing out them little felt board figures. Barbara, I know you are a felt board champion. We should get a trophy for you. Felt board queen. Jesus is able to meet all of our need according to his riches and glory. We've got to trust him. It's not just one thing to show up, but it's another thing to believe him at what he says. Can you believe him for what he says today? Because, see, the miracle didn't become a miracle until someone was willing to give it to him. They were willing to give it to him. Didn't matter how much it was. It was what they had. It was what they had. I told George, Tommy Barnett, an Assembly of God pastor in Phoenix, Arizona, wrote a book, and he said, everything you need is in the house. Everything you need is already in the house. It's just a matter of people giving what they got. The young man was willing to give his 5 loaves and his 2 fish. He didn't even think about what would happen to him if he didn't have his 5 loaves and 2 fish. He was willing to give it. And because he gave it, He taught a whole group of men who would become world-renowned. This little boy's forgotten, and the disciples, there are statues and sainthoods made out of them, but the little boy's the one who taught him the lesson. How many churches you ever walked into and seen a statue of a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Huh? He was the man of the hour. Because he stepped into a level of faith that no one else was stepping into. Philip's going, do you ever feel like that's how it goes? Your money just... Philip's like, it's going to cost a half a year's money. It's going to cost a half. We can't give up that kind of money. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? The other, no, we're having a vote. Let's call a vote right now. I vote. Yep, let's vote. Hey, Jesus, we voted. We can't buy no food. Nope. And Jesus said, just bring me what you got. Didn't I hear somebody say 5 loaves, 2 fish? Just bring it here. When it touched him, when he touched it, it became more than enough. I hope that's not too big for you. I hope that's not too much for you. Can you bring what you got to him? No, relax. We're not asking for another offering this morning. Somebody like, I knew it. He's taking another offering. No, we're not going to take another offering. It has nothing to do with money. Bring him your worry. Bring him your fear. Bring him your pain. Bring him your suffering. Bring him your joy. You know, the gospel isn't just to those who are broken and hurt. It's to those who are doing well, too. Sometimes we forget about those people. Maybe you got all the money you need in your bank account this morning. You need Jesus as much as the broke person does. Right? We all need the Lord. We all need the Lord. And so I'd encourage you today to bring your praise to him, to bring your offering of worship to him, to bring your need to him. He said, cast all your care on me because I care for you. Come on, worship team, come back to the platform. We're gonna wrap this thing up this morning. Don't worry, you got a lot of time to the Steeler game. Or whoever else you're going to watch this morning. Or this afternoon, I should say. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him, now unto him, now unto him. Say now unto him. Now unto him. Now unto him. We got 15,000 to 20,000 people. Now unto him. I got this need. I don't know how I'm going to meet it. Now unto him. Philip couldn't make it happen. The other disciples couldn't make it happen. But now unto him. Who do you got to get the loaves and fishes to? To the one who spoke the world into existence. Who do you got to get your need to? To the one who spoke the world into existence. Because the one who spoke the world into existence is the one who can meet your need. Don't look at your own resources. Get to the one with unlimited resources. He's got unlimited resources, amen? All right, Henry said, when I close my iPad, that means 15 more minutes. I closed it, and start playing some. Come on, come on. Cast all your care on me, the Lord says, for I care for you. You say, well, my little bit. It always makes me laugh, Karen, when I say my little bit won't make a difference. That always makes me laugh. Well, this little bit that I have, we've seen it over and over and over again in this church, haven't we? Every time we take a special offering, it astounds us. Thousands. I remember the time Danny one Sunday morning with a crowd not much bigger than this, $30,000 in a special offering, over and above the tithe and offering. In one offering. Because when every one of us, Laura, are willing to say, here's what I can do. Jesus says, then watch what I'll do. Watch what I'll do. And that's what I'm saying to you this morning. He did what? He fed 15,000 to 20,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You think he can't meet your need? Come on, stand with us. It'd be silly to believe that, wouldn't it? It'd be absolutely sick. We'd be the most silly people on the face of the earth that believe he couldn't meet our need if he could feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You got a good song for us? All right, I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing it. Father, thank you today. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for putting joy in our hearts today. Thank you for putting a laugh in us today. Lord, I sensed even as I was speaking today, there are some that haven't laughed in a while, but you put a laugh in their belly today. You give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. And when we have joy unspeakable and full of glory, we can't help but laugh. Lord, I believe there are some today came in with a heavy heart and are leaving feeling uplifted and encouraged. I believe there are some that came in with troubled minds that are able to walk out of this place with perfect peace today because their minds have been on you. And your word says, perfect peace have they whose minds are stayed on the Lord. So when we leave this place today and we've walked out of the spirit of fear, we've walked out of the spirit of bondage that some have been held in this morning, walked out of it right here at this altar, and we've praised you and worshiped you because of it. Now when we leave these doors and exit this building, for some they'll be going all over the country. Some will be local. But wherever our destinations may be, Lord, may we remember today that if we can come to you with what we have, and we can trust you with it, you can do incredible things. I pray, Lord, that each one of us today, our faith will go there. That we will believe you today for the impossible, for the unthinkable. The one who was and is to come. The lover of our soul. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom. You are the God that meets our needs. You are the God who desires to teach us to prosper and be in health. You are the God that leads us by the still waters. You are the God who restores our soul. You are a good, good Father. You are a good, good Father. You've led us here today. Not one of us are here by coincidence or accident. You have led us here today for this divine reason and this divine purpose, that once again we would be stirred to trust you, to put our hope and our confidence in you. For there is no God like our God. Bless your people today, I pray. Bless them in abundance with grace and peace and mercy. Let their love be overflowing today. Let our love be overflowing to one another and to the hurting world around and about us. Let us be the agents of peace. Let us be the agents of joy and comfort and strength. Let us be the voice of reason today in our world and in our society. Let us, the church, the redeemed, the blood-bought redeemed of the church, let us rise up and lock arm in arm with one another and to declare what a mighty God you are. You have called us to be the salt and the light of the world. Let us so shine before the world that men would glorify you. May you receive all the glory. May you receive all the honor. May you receive all the praise as throughout this week, Father, as individuals bring to you what they have and you do miraculous things in their life. We give you praise. We bless you in Jesus' name.